Okay, guys, today we're going to do Sugyas 12, 13, and 15. Tzuros, Bishas, Arabim, Hilchot, Miri, Labr, Tzuros, and Eved, Va'am, HaSeh, Zeko. Try to explain everything, hopefully, as clear as possible with some organization. If you don't understand anything, raise your hand, speak. Yeah? That's tomorrow. Okay. You'll come to tomorrow soon for that. I'm not giving it, but... Okay, if anything's unclear, if anything is like should be repeated, or I went too fast or too slow, just let me know. You don't have to like be silent. They can't hear you, and there's no way anyone's listening to this anyway. So, like, you could just go for it. You don't even need to raise your hand. Okay, so the first sugya is Tzuros Bereshis HaRabim, and I guess the sugya can be separated into two different parts. One of them is a separate p'tor of Orchei, and one of them is... the second part is whether we go basar manatava or basar as linen, basar meikar as linen. Okay, so basar tava manar, basar meikar as linen. We'll get to that later. So the first part about the separate p'tor of Orchei. So it starts off with the Gemara in Gimel Mabez. The Gemara for the whole first two daf of Bava Kama is trying to figure out the second half of Rapapa's statement. Rapapa said that there are toldos keyotibahen and toldos lav keyotibahen. So the Toldos Keyotibahen, we have no shortage of examples, but we're trying to find the Toldos Lav Keyotibahen. And on Gimel Mabez, the Gemara says, I finally found it. It's the case of Chatzi Nezek Tzuros. Tzuros is when the animal doesn't damage directly, but the animal kicks up some dirt or some pebbles that goes and damages something else, and that's indirect, and it's going to pay Chatzi Nezek. And what's it a Tolda of? It's a Tolda of Regel. So Tzuros pays Chatzi Nezek, Regel, as we know, pays Nezek Shalim. So this is the example of Toldos Lav Kayotze Behen. The Tolda is unlike the Av, because the Tolda pays Chatzi Nezek, the Av of Regel pays Nezek Shalim. So if the Tolda of Tzuros is so different than Regel, why is it a Tolda of Regel? So the Gemara says that you pay min ha'aliyah. You pay from the best properties of the land, just like Regel pays from the Aliyah, so too Tzuros pays min ha'aliyah, and that's the similarity between Tzuros and Regel. The Gemara questions this similarity and says, why? That's only according to Rav Papa, who holds that you pay from the Aliyah. But Rava had a suffix. Rava was unsure whether you pay from the Aliyah. So what's the similarity between Tzuros and Regel? Why is Tzuros a Tolda of Regel? So the Gemara answers, according to Rava, that Tzuros is Pater Bereshis HaRabim. And Regel is also Pater Bereshis HaRabim. So since they're both Pater Bereshis HaRabim, Tzuros is a Tolda of Regel. So that's the Gemara. We have Tzuros as a Tolda of Regel, in that there's a similarity of Ptor Bereshis HaRabim, or a similarity of payments from the Aliyah, and it's Lav Keyotibahen because you pay Chatzi Nezek as opposed to Regel, which pays Nezek Shalim. That's the Gemara. So the first extension of this din of Tzuros is the case of Hateza Bereshis HaRabim v'Hazeka Bereshis HaYachid. The Gemara on Yud Tesman Aleph has an exchange between Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Zeira. I know some people in this room are fond of Rabbi Yirmiya. Shout out. So Rabbi Yirmiya asks Rabbi Zeira, he asks a lot of good kashas. He says, are you chayav bereshis harabim for tzuros? And Rabbi Zeira answers, no, you're pater, because tzuros is a tolda of regel, and regel is pater bereshis harabim, so tzuros is also pater bereshis harabim, like we saw in Daf Gimel. But then Rabbi Yirmiya, we know, he doesn't just ask some questions, he has a better question. He says, let's say the animal kicked up the dirt in a bereshis harabim, so it started in bereshis harabim, and then the animal, and then the dirt travels all the way to bereshis hayachid and damages something in bereshis hayachid. What would be the din there? So Rabbi Zeira answers that you're putter in that case too, because there's only a valid hanacha, what he calls a hanacha of chiyuv, but not an akira. Hanacha yesh kan, akira ein kan. That you need the entire process of tzuros to be one which makes you chayiv. So tzuros is only chayiv bereshis hayachid. So the whole thing has to take place in bereshis hayachid. The animal has to kick up dirt in bereshis hayachid, and the dirt has to go damage the property in bereshis hayachid in order for you to be chayiv. But if the animal kicks up the dirt from Rishas HaRabim, then you're going to be pater. So the Gemara cites a brice that seems to go against Rabbi Zeira's answer and says you're chayiv for that case of Hitiza Rishas HaRabim v'Zika Rishas HaYachid. So the Gemara says you're right, that brice is correct, and Rabbi Zeira was Hadarbe. So it sounds like from this Gemara that Hitiza Rishas HaRabim v'Zika Rishas HaYachid is going to be chayiv. So we have this idea of Tzuros. It might pay from the Aliyah, that's a machlokes, and it's going to be patur Rishis HaRabim, but if it starts off in Rishis HaRabim and goes to Rishis HaYachid, that's going to be Chayiv. That's where we are now. So now we introduce the Rif. The Rif on Aleph and Beis says that Shein and Regel are patur. But the Rif gives you a svar. He doesn't just quote a pasuk. He says they're patur because of orche, because these are normal. It's normal for the animal to damage in this way. So the Rush asks, why does the Rif give a svar? What's he talking about this patur of orche? So the Rush says, the Rif is giving us a chiddush. He's saying that these cases are going to be patur, even if it's half Rishis HaRabim. You have an item, let's say a long stick, is halfway in Rishis HaRabim, halfway in Rishis HaYachid, and you step on the portion in Rishis HaRabim, and the thing, the other end of the stick damages something in Rishis HaYachid, so you have this long pole, you step on the end in Rishis HaRabim, and it damages something in Rishis HaYachid, so the Rif is telling you that that's going to be patur because of Orchei. So the question on this Rif that the Shulti Giburim asks, is this case of half Rishis HaRabim, half Rishis HaYachid? Yeah?
What's the
pasuk for Orchei? No, there's no pasuk for Orchei. The pasuk would be, for Shein and Regel, we have the pasukim of Bi'iro, and we have all the pasukim in Mishpatim. But there's no pasuk for Orchei.
The pasuk
that we're talking about is just Orchei? No, Orchei is a separate svara. Orchei is a svara, and Shein and Regel have pasukim. Orchei is a totally separate svara. So, in addition to these pasukim, that say you're going to be chayav, there's a patur of Orchei. And the patur is that if it's normal, so if the animal steps on something that's half in Rishis HaRabim and it damages something in Rishis HaYachid part, so the Rif says you're going to be patur. So the question we could ask is, this seems to be very similar to the case that we had on your test with Yirmi and Rib Zera, where the Tzriro started in Rishis HaRabim and went to Rishis HaYachid, and over there the conclusion of the Gemara was that you're chayiv. So what's the deal with this Rif? Why does he seem to go against the Gemara? And the Shulti Giburim points out this question, and he says it must be that there's some other Gemara, that the Gemara in your test is not the end of the story. So the Truma Sakri, the Ksos's brother, comes and gives an answer for the Rif, and he gives a source for the Rif. Where does this Rif get its separate Torah of Orchei? So he says it's on the other side of the Amud. It's on your testament base. What's on your testament base? So the Gemara asks, Kishkisha Bezanva, if the animal starts wagging its tail and damaging things, are you chayiv? And the Gemara answers rhetorically, do you have to hold your animal's tail the entire time you're walking in Rishis HaRabim? Which means, of course, you don't have to do that. You're not chayiv on such a high level of shmira. So Truma Sakri says, this was the source of the Rif, that there's a ptur of orche. If something's normal to happen, like the animal wagging its tail, you're going to be patur from it. That's the source of the Rif. So now we have... Yeah, it's your testament base. So we have this Rif's idea of a separate patur of Orchei, and now we found a source for it. And so the next thing we're going to do is find a couple applications of this patur of Orchei. So the first one is that the Truma Sakri points out is that the Rif argues with Tosfos. Why? What Tosfos? Tosfos on Daf Gimel on the base. He wants to question Shitas Rava. Rava had a suffix. He didn't know whether Tsuros pays from Aliyah or not, but he did know that there's a Ptur Birshus HaRabim. So Tosfos asks on Rava, why is Rava so sure of the similarity between one similarity of Tsuros and Regel, the similarity of Ptur Birshus HaRabim? When it comes to that case, we know Regel is Ptur Birshus HaRabim, so Tsuros is going to follow suit and be Ptur Birshus HaRabim. But when it comes to another similarity, when it comes to another din of Regel, of paying from the Aliyah, so now we're unsure. We're unsure whether Tsuros pays from Aliyah. Which one is it? Is Tsuros like Regel or not like Regel? So Tosfos gives an answer and says, we have a halacha l'moshe misinai that tells us that Tsuros only pays chatzi nezek. So the halacha l'moshe misinai is a kula. So we see that the din of Tsuros is a kula. The din of Tsuros is a leniency. So if we're going to act lenient with Tsuros, therefore it makes sense that the lenient dinim from Regel are going to be applicable to Tsuros, but not necessarily the more stringent dinim. So, in our example, the Ptur Birshus HaRabim is a leniency, is a kula, and since we know Tsuros is a kula, because it only has to pay halfway, so we're going to apply that kula of Ptur Birshus HaRabim from Regel to Tsuros. But the other din of Regel, where paying from the Aliyah is a chumrah, so there we're not so sure whether we're going to apply that din of Regel to Tsuros, because maybe Tsuros has to be something which is inherently lenient and doesn't get the dinim of Regel that are machmir. So that's the first application of this Ptur of Orche, of the Rif, that the Truma Sakri points at. So we have the Ptur Orche of the Rif, the Truma Sakri gave us a source for it, of the Kishkesh Abazanva, and now he says it's against Tosfos. Why is this against Tosfos? Because the Rif's Ptur of Orche, the Rif would answer this question very easily. The question is, why does Rava only hold of one din, of a Ptur B'Shisarabin, but he doesn't hold, he might not hold of Aliyah? Well, according to the Rif, there's a separate Ptur of Orche. The Ptur B'Shisarabin is not coming from the similarity between Sroros and Ragel, it's coming from a separate Ptur. It's coming from the fact that it's Orche, that's normal to happen. So if Rava is sure of the Ptur of B'Shisarabin because of Orche, so why would he necessarily say anything about paying from the Aliyah? That has nothing to do with the Ptur of Orche. The only reason he said your Padre B'Shisarabim was Orche. So that doesn't tell us anything about other dinim that are relevant to Regel, and that's why Rava had a suffix for Aliyah, because it didn't have the Ptur of Orche, so there's no reason why it should apply. So you don't need to come on to Tosfos' answer and say there's Kulas and Chumras. You could just say that the Ptur B'Shisarabim was a Ptur of Orche, and Aliyah has nothing to do with Orche, so therefore Rava didn't know that din. So that's why the Tosfos is against the Rif, because the Rif could have had a much simpler answer if you just say the Ptur Orche, and Tosfos didn't say that answer, so he must not hold it as a separate Ptur of Orche. That's application number one. Mm-hmm. Application number two is a little bit more complicated, so we'll try to go through it slowly. The Mochamas asks the question. He says, at the Maskana of the Gemara, so at first we said Rav Papa is the one who holds that Tsroos pays from the Aliyah, and Rava's unsure of it, but Rava says there's a Ptur B'Shus Harabim. That's a similarity between Sroos and Regel. So the Mochamas points out that presumably Rav Papa also holds to Rava's din. Right, Rav Papa also holds that there's a Ptur B'Shus Harabim for the case of Sroos. Now, if Rav Papa holds just like Rava, that there's a Ptur B'Shus Harabim for Sroos, so how do we know what he says about Aliyah? Maybe Rav Papa is the exact same thing as Rava. Rava holds that there's a Ptur B'Shus Harabim, that's the similarity between Sroos and Regel, and he doesn't know anything about Aliyah. So too Rav Papa. Rav Papa also, we could say, holds of the Ptur B'Shus Harabim, and he doesn't necessarily know anything about Aliyah. In the Hava Mina, we thought that that's what he could say, but then based on Rava, when Rava had a question, and we found another aspect in which Sroos could be similar to Regel, maybe Rav Papa likes that similarity better, and Rav Papa only holds that the similarity between Sroos and Regel is the Ptur B'Shus Harabim. Yeah. Okay, so good question. I think that made it into a footnote of the notes. But maybe you could say similar Kava Chomer for that Tosfos gave. Right? This Ptur B'Shus Harabim is a Kula, and therefore it's much more Nitan Hayamer than the. Why is every Kula Chomer?
Every the Kula on the Mazik, but it's a Chomer on the Mean Back.
I mean, that's a question on Tosfos in general. That how can you do that as a kula?
In general, also, but I'm saying.
So saying that now, you're, so I.
Someone else would be, it doesn't say it would be even farther
okay.
Stretch.
Okay. 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 I mean, I don't see guys any more of a question on the on this racham than on Tosfos. But okay, separate question on Tosfos. Okay, good question. We talked about it, I think, in earlier sugyas. I don't have it on my fingertips, and we'll look up the notes after. Okay, good question, but. According to the Mochamas, thank you. He's proposing that Rav Papa, maybe Rav Papa only holds of the similarity of Ptur B'Shus Harabim and doesn't hold of the other similarity of paying from the Aliyah. That's the Mochamas' question. So the Truma Sakri is going to answer this question based on the idea of the Rif separate Ptur of Orche. How does he answer it? So we need one more piece of background information, and then we can tie all the pieces in together. The Rush, who points out this Ptur of Orche, the Rif, asks another question. If this Ptur of Orche is something totally separate, why are we saying it just applies to Regel and Shane? Why doesn't it apply to Karen also? Why can't we say Karen is Orche, and if the animal damages in a normal way, it's going to be Pati? We don't see that Ptur anywhere. So the Rush answers, well, let's break down the Av of Karen. The Karen breaks down into two categories, Karen Muad and Karen Tam. So Karen Muad is easy to answer, right? Even if you would say there's a Ptur of Orche at some point, well, Muad tells us that when your animal has a history of acting out, so it's going to act out again, and we're going to say you're Chayev no matter what. So So that's why Keren wouldn't have the Ptur of Orche for Keren Muad. Now what about Keren Tam? Why can't you apply the Ptur of Orche to a case of Keren Tam? So the Rush says, really, we do hold of the Ptur of Orche for Keren Tam. Okay, but we don't see anywhere in the Gemara. We still see that there's a Chiyuv of Chatzi Nezek. So the Rush says, yeah, the Chiyuv of Chatzi Nezek is only a Knas. We know there's a machlokas on Tes Vav and Aleph, whether Paganis gets Mamona or Paganis gets Knasa. So the Rush says, we hold Paganis gets Knasa, and therefore there really is a Ptur of Orche for Keren Tam, and we just throw on Chatzi Nezek as a Knas. That's why the Ptur of Orche doesn't, the Rift doesn't say that it applies to Keren. Because it does apply, but we throw on a Knas. Fine. Yeah. So the Rush asks, why does the Ptur of Orche apply to the case of Keren? Why is it just Shane and Regel? So for Keren Muad, the Ptur is not going to apply because the animal already gored three times. And what about Keren Tam? He says, really, it does apply. You are Pater. So why do we see that? You're Chayv Chatzi Nezek? That's just a Knas. We hold like the Manda Amar Paga Nizka Knasa, and therefore there's a Ptur Orche, but we slap on a Knas. Fine. So we see, in order to uphold this idea of the Ptur of Orche, what do you have to hold? Palga Nizka Knasa. Because that's the only way that you could hold the Ptur only applies to Shein V'Regel and doesn't apply to Karen. Because if you don't hold Palga Nizka Knasa, there's no way to get out of the Rush's question. How do you get out of the question of where's the Ptur of Orche for Karen? The way the Rush got out of it was saying that Karen Karen Muad, the Chatzi Nizka of Karen Muad, is just a Knas. And therefore the Orche really did apply there and we slapped on Knas. But if you say that the money there is not just a Knas, then what happened to the Ptur of Orche? So the Truma Sakri brings everything together, and he wants to come and answer this question of the Machamis, of how do we know that Rav Papa holds of both the Ptur B'Shisa Rabin and the Din of Aliyah? So the Truma Sakri says it's very simple. How is it very simple? It's a couple steps. So if we wanted to say that Rav Papa only held of the Ptur B'Shisa Rabim and not Aliyah, we'd have to say that the Ptur B'Shisa Rabim was coming from where? Was coming from the separate Ptur of Orche. Because if we were to say that the Ptur B'Shisa Rabim was coming from the fact that Sroros is a subcategory of Regel, then Sroros should be a subcategory of Regel in every aspect. You should apply both the Ptur B'Shisa Rabim and the payment from the Aliyah. So in order to say that only the Ptur B'Shisa Rabim is going to apply, you have to say that the Ptur B'Shisa Rabim is coming from a Ptur of Orche. Now, we said that in order to say this Ptur of Orche, the Rush pointed out, that you have to hold Palga Nizka Knasa. That's the only way you could say the Ptur of Orche, or else you run into problems of what about Karen. Rav Papa is the Manda Amar on Tes Vav Man Aleph who holds Palga Nizka Mamona. And since Rav Papa holds Paganis Kamamona, the Rush tells us that he can't hold of the Ptur of Orche. It's impossible for him to hold the Ptur of Orche because there's nothing for him to do about Orche applying to Karen. So now we know Rav Papa doesn't hold of the Ptur of Orche. So if Rav Papa doesn't hold of the Ptur of Orche, once he says that for Tzurus there's a Ptur B'Shisa Rabim, what's the reason for that Ptur B'Shisa Rabim? It can't be Orche, so it must be a similarity to Regel. So if Tzurus is similar to Regel, then you can't start splitting between different dinim and say it's similar in this way, but not in that way. So from the fact that Rav Papa himself on Tes Vav Man Aleph, it's a Lishitaso, Rav Papa himself on Tes Vav Man Aleph holds Paganis Kamamona. Therefore, he can't hold from the Sefer Ptur of Orche based on the Rush. And therefore, if he doesn't hold the Sefer Ptur of Orche, he has to say that the Ptur B'Shisa Rabin is from the similarity to Regel, and therefore all the other similar dinim of Regel are going to apply, i.e. the payments from the Aliyah. So the Truma Sakri is a couple of steps, but one by one, I think it works really well, especially with the Lishitasa. Good? Good? Okay, so that ends the first part of the Sigya. We had the Gemara with the Dinam of Ptur B'Shisa Rabim and Aliyah, and we had this Din of Hiteza B'Shisa Rabim V'Hizika B'Shisa Yachid, which we said at the end of the day was Chayiv. The Rasha is Torah of Orche, which seemed to go against that Gemara, because the Rish had the Ptur of Orche, which the Rush said means half Rishis Rabim, half Rishis Yachid is Pater. And the Truma Sakri explained the source for the Rish. He explained three things. The source for the Rish was the Kishkasha B'Zanva, and application number one to the Rish was that he argues with Tosfos, because Tosfos had to give a separate reason of the split between Pshor B'Shusharabim and Aliyah, when the Ritz himself would have just said, Pshor B'Shusharabim is from Orche, Aliyah is not. And the third thing he said is explain the answer to Machamas' question, why, according to Rav Papa, you can't split between Pshor B'Shusharabim and payment from the Aliyah, because Rav Papa himself holds Pshor B'Shusharabim holds that Paganis Klamona, and therefore he can't hold the Torah of Orche, and therefore can't split between those two Jews. That Adkan, portion number one of the Sigya. Portion number two of the Sigya, and it takes a little bit of a different turn, it's whether we say Basar Meikar Alzinan or Basar Tavarman Alzinan. So it starts off the Gemara on Yud Zayin and Beis. What's the case? An animal kicks, let's say, a ball, and the ball rolls down, and that rolls down the hill, and then damages something. So the Gemara has a suffix. Do we say basar meikara azlinan, and therefore we go by the beginning? What was the beginning? The beginning was the animal hit this ball, and therefore you're going to be chayev nezek shalim. Mm-hmm. Or do we say?
Isn't that he hit the ball and there's just a rabbin and then he's potter?
There's just a rabbin.
And it goes into just the yachid and bris,
yeah. Right? 1 second. I thought it was just chayev nezek shalim and chati nezek. Yeah, I think the suffix is chatzin nezek or nezek shalem. Yeah, if the animal steps on a kli and it rolls into a different spot and then breaks something, so do we say basame karazlinan? So we view the damage done at the time the animal comes into contact with the ball, and therefore that's regular. The animal came into contact with the ball and caused damage, or do we say, and that was the start of the damage once the ball is the thing that's breaking. It doesn't go to something else that breaks. So the animal kicks, let's say, a kli, and the kli goes down, rolls down the hill, and then breaks.
But if it's about to make harazino, why isn't that the versus, like, did he kick it and there's just a rabbin? It's all versus
yachid. I think it's all versus, if it's regular, it's all versus yachid.
So then what's the difference about, like, what time he kicks it if it's all versus yachid?
Because if we say basar meikar azlinan, then it's the animal himself doing it. But if it's basar tavar mana, based on when it breaks, mm-hmm. So then we would say it's tsuras. So again, yeah?
Even if it was regular,
it
would still be chassinezek,
right? It's tsuras, right? That's pater and chassarabin. Right? Tsuras, everyone agrees that the ptor b'sh chassarabin. Sorry, I didn't make that clear from the beginning. This is all talking about rishas hayachid. So all talking about rishas hayachid. So we have this the suffix of the Gemara. The animal kicks a kli, it rolls down the hill, and then breaks. So if we say we go by the beginning, basar meikar azlinan, so the animal was the one that started breaking this kli, so it's going to pay nezek shalim, regular. Or we say basar tavar mana, we go after it broke, and when this kli broke, the animal had already kicked it a while ago, and therefore it would be tsuros and yechayev chati nezek. That's the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara answers from the case of Rabba. Rabba says, if someone chucks someone's kli off the roof, and another guy comes and smashes it before it hits the ground, so the guy who smashed it is going to be pater. Why? The Gemara says, Rabba says, mana tvira tavar. This guy who smashed the kli broke a broken object. What does it mean, broke a broken object? That when it was thrown off the roof, the object is considered as if it's broken, which tells us, basar meikara azlinan. We go by the beginning, based on when the object was thrown off the roof. So you say, basar meikara azlinan, and therefore the guy who smashes it is going to be pater, because the kli was already broken. So to here, in our case, we should say, basar meikara azlinan, to make the Baal HaShor chayev nezek shalim. That's all the Gemara. So the Rosh asks the question on a case we saw earlier. We saw the case of Hitiza Birshis Harabim v'Hizeka Birshis Hayachid. We saw that case earlier, which seemed to go against the Rif's Ptor of Orche, that if the animal kicks up dirt in Birshis Harabim and then goes and damages something in Birshis Hayachid, you're going to be Chayiv. So the Rosh says, why don't we go Basar Meikara Azlinan? The beginning of the process was in Birshis Harabim. The end of the process was in Birshis Hayachid. So why do we say basar meikar azlinan? Why? And therefore that would mean he's pater. Why do we say he's chayev? It seems to go against this Gemara. So the Rosh gives a chiluk. It's a little bit of a fine chiluk. He says that the rule of basar meikar azlinan doesn't tell us where the damage happened. It just tells us who's the responsible party. So the case of the Hetayza Bershut Rabbim and Hezekiah Bershut Sayachid. This suffix of Basim Eikarazin and Basha Tavermana tells us where the damage happens. That's not when it's applicable. It's only applicable in the other cases. In the case of Rabbah, it's saying who's Chayiv? The person on the top of the roof who threw the item down, or the person on the ground floor who smashed the item? That's when you use Basim Eikarazin. Or our case on Yedzayin, where the animal kicked the kli, do we say the animal is chayiv, or do we say Sroos is chayiv? We're not asking about where the chayiv took place, we're asking about who was responsible. So that's the Rosh's chilek. Okay, a little bit of... Okay, we'll get back to that point later.
So how does that answer our question? Meaning,
which question?
The theory of the two cases.
Because we only say basa meikar azlinan in a case where we want to know who damaged this item. But in the case where we want to know where was the item damaged, we don't say the chilek. So we say basa meikar azlin in the case of the roof and the case of the animal kicking the ball and rolling down the hill, because that tells us who's chayiv. Tells us the person on top is chayiv, or the animal itself, as opposed to his throws for chayiv. But in the case of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the only question is, where is the chayiv taking place? When it's where is the chayiv taking place, we don't say basa meikar azlin. Okay, next we have a Tosfos. Tosfos says that if one person, he gives a little bit of a similar case to Rabbah, but says it's going to have a different din. Says if one person throws an Evan, he's not throwing the Kli off the roof. He's throwing a stone towards the Kli, and someone smashes the Kli before the rock gets there. So the Tosfa says that even though in Rabbah's case we said Mana Tvira Tavar, and we said the guy who smashes the Kli is Pater, here we're going to say he's Chayev. Why? What's the difference? How is this case different? So Tosfa says that the difference is whether you're holding the Kli or not. We only say basa meikar azlinan in the case of Rabbah when someone's throwing it off the roof because the person is holding the kli. No. But in this case, no, he's not holding the kli. He's throwing a rock onto the kli. And Tosfos says this chilek is obvious because then we would never have a din of tsuros because every time the animal kicked something up, we'd say basa meikar azlinan, go after the beginning. And at the beginning, the animal was directly hitting these pebbles. So you should be chayav nezek shalim. So Tosfos says it must be we only say basa meikar azlinan in a case where you're touching the animal you're touching the thing that's going to be damaged. And the Ketzos points out that this Tosfos is against the Rush. Why? Because Tosfos would have never asked the Rush this question. The Rush said, why don't we say Basa Meikara Azlinan in the case of Hiteza Birshus Hayachid Vizeka Birshus Hiteza Birshus Rabbim Vizeka Birshus Hayachid. Tosfos said, why don't we say Basa Meikara Azlinan there? And Tosfos, the Rush asked that question, and he had to give his fancy chilek of, we only say it about who's damaging, not where it's damaging. So Tosfos, his chilek would work perfectly. Tosfos would say, in that case, you're not touching the item that's going to be destroyed, and therefore we don't say, basa meikar azlinan.
So
what
would the Rush
answer to Tosfos? What would the Rush answer to Tosfos' question? So the Tosfos continues, and he says, No. I was going to screw over this point because it's good that you're following. It's a little bit side point. There. Fine. We'll get to that too because I want to make sure we get the other sugyas, and I think we're a little bit behind. Good question. Okay. So the Ketzos says that not only is the Tosfos against the Rush that we saw earlier, the Tosfos is against one more Rishon that we saw earlier. We saw the famous Nemuke Yosef who says, "How can you light Shabbos candles?" And he said the din of Zrikas Achetz of Eish. Is going of Adam Amazik, the Chiyav starts at the beginning. So the Ketzos says, how could you say the Chiyav starts at the beginning when I light a fire? I'm not touching the item that's going to be destroyed. Tosfos just told me that we only say Basim Eikar Azlinan when I'm touching the item that's going to be destroyed. And in the Muki Yosef's case, I'm touching the fire, I'm touching the arrow. That's not going to be the item that's going to be destroyed. So we see, the Ketzos says, we see Tosfos is against the Muki Yosef. And the Rashash, I'll just say the Rashash. Superficially, not Rashash, yes. Rav Shimon Shkup has had Tosfos could really agree with the Nemuke Yosef. I'll say it briefly, and we can discuss it afterwards because there's a lot of discussion in Seder and post Shir Hak. But he says really there is a difference. He says that the Tosfos and the Nemuke Yosef don't have to be arguing. Those are different cases. Why? Tosfos says we only say Basa Meikar Azlinan when you're touching the thing that's going to be destroyed, and the Nemuke Yosef seem to have applied it even when you're not touching the item that's destroyed. So the Rav Shimon Shkup says it's not a machlokas. Why? Tosfos' case is discussing Tavar Mana Tvira Tavar. discussing whether this object is considered a broken object or not. The whole question is based on this davar, this clue that's going to be destroyed, and therefore it's going to be a main factor whether you're touching this clue at the beginning. But in the Nemuk Yosef's case, the whole question is about Adam Hamazik. It's about a person damaging, and when a person's damaging, we don't care about the item that's going to be destroyed, we only care about his level of chiyuv and what he's doing, and therefore those cases are totally different, and they're not arguing. That's Rav Shimon Shkrup. So Ad Kan, the first sigya, and let's try to move on to the second one, and if we have time at the end, then maybe we'll do one quick chazar, but I'm not sure if we'll have time at the end. The second sigya is Hilchos HaGemiri LaBetzurus. It has three parts. The middle part is very short, though, so let's get started. So even if you got lost at the end of the last sugya, we can pick up right here. So the first part is machloksin about halacha l'moshe misinai. Starts off with that or Gemara, we say hilchasa gemirila b'tzurus. What's hilchasa gemirila? So Rashi says it means halacha l'moshe misinai. Okay, sounds probably how most of us read the Gemara in Bekiyas, if we did that Gemara in Bekiyas. So the Gemara in Anyud Zayin Amud Beis quotes a machlokes. It says if chickens damage something, they pay nezek shalim, but if the wind from their wings damage it, then you're only going to pay chatzi nezek, because that's like tsuros. And Simcha says, even if the wind damages it, you're going to pay nezek shalim. Doesn't hold this chatzi nezek tsuros then. So does Simcha argue with the halacha l'moshe misinai? We shall see. So, first, there are different categories of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam lists five categories of Torah Shebaal Peh, three of which are De'oraisas. What are the three De'oraisa categories? Number one, the Rambam says in Perush Mishnayos, Halacha L'moshe Misinai. This has no source, it has no svara. The only way we know it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to Moshe on Har Sinai. That there's Halacha L'moshe Misinai. What's an example of this? Your tefillin have to be black. Good. Or your tefillin have to be square. I don't know why, I don't know what pasuk. It's a din. Din number two, Perush Mikubal Misinai. This din is based on a pasuk, but it might not necessarily be the normal way to read the pasuk. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu how to read the pasuk. Example? Ayin tachas ayin. Beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that it doesn't mean literally an eye for an eye. It means monetary payment. It's a din. Okay. And number three is Midos Shator and Reshes Behen. Okay, we could, a lot of different examples there. Kavachomas, Gzir Shavas. Fine. Davin Shach this morning. Exactly. So the Rambam says that for the first two categories, Halacha L'moshe Misinai and Perush Mekubal Misinai, very important, there's no machlokas in them. You can't have a machlokas. And since you can't have a machlokas, it's a din forever. Once we say it's a din, no one's going to argue, no one's going to uproot it. The last category, Midos Shator and Reshes Behen, you can have a machlokas in it, but we're going to go after the Rove, and whoever's the majority will say that's the din. So first two categories, Halacha L'moshe Misinai, Perush Mekubal Misinai, no machlokas. Midos Shator and Reshes Behen, there's a machlokas about. So it seems like Simchas is in trouble because he argues with the halacha l'moshe misinai. Okay, before we start answering for Simchas, we'll say one little side point. Apparently, Rebbe likes it because he quoted it last year and this year.
Yeah. It's not only about where they're going from, but it's actually etzem halacha.
Right, whether it applies. Yeah. Whether it applies at all. You can deny it. Okay, good. So the pasuk in Rus tells us that the Goel doesn't want to redeem the land, pen eshchis es nachlasi, lest I will destroy my portion, my inheritance. What does that mean? So Rashi over there tells us that the Goel said, if I marry Rus, my kids one day down the line might all be pasul. They might have bad yichus. So the Grus says, why is the Goel only concerned about his kids? Why doesn't he care about himself? If he really doesn't hold to the din of Moavi v'lo Moavis, that it's mutter to marry a Moav convert who's a girl, then why is he only concerned with his kid's yichus? What about his yichus? So the Grus says it's really a very lamdash machlokas. The girl was telling Boaz that this din of Moavi v'lo Moavis, it's not that I don't hold of it. I hold of it, but it's a midah shatorn in the Reshes Behen. And therefore it could be uprooted some point down the line in the future. And it wouldn't be a problem for me, because right now I know the din applies. It would be a problem for my kids, because one day they're going to uproot this din, and then retroactively they're all going to become whatever they'll become. And the Boaz responded, no, you got it all wrong. It's not a Midos Shator and Reshes Behen, which is subject to Machlokas. It's a Perush Mekubal Misinai. It's even stronger. Therefore, it's not subject to Machlokas. It's going to apply forever. Okay, that's the point about the rest. Good, so how do we answer for Simcha? Simcha says, doesn't hold this Halacha L'moshe Misinai, and you can't have Machlokas about Halacha L'moshe Misinai. How is this possible? So for the first We're going to answer it on, right, the question is, how could Simchas argue without Lech Lomosh Mishinai? So the first answer is going to be, it's not an argument. Second answer is going to be, it's not a Lech Lomosh Mishinai. Okay, so the first answer is, the Rambam, when he continues about these different Dinei Deoraisa, says that he explains and gives a caveat to his din of not having a machlokas. When we say you can't have a machlokas about halach l'mosh mesinai, perish mekul mesinai, it means that you can't have a machlokas about whether the din exists. You can't have one mandamer saying there's a din of trim has to be black, and the other mandamer says I never heard of it. You can have a machlokas in the parameters of the din. For example, we know that the halach l'mosh mesinai trim has to be square. What part of the trim has to be square? There are different machlokas. Is it the stitching? Is it the bias? Is it the Titura, Ma'abarta, okay, all these things, the Ma'holding and whatever, Hechostam. But we see that you're allowed to have machlokas in the parameters of the din, you just can't have a machlokas in whether the din exists at all. Another machlokas, last year we did Mesecha Sukkah, so one opinion says, that the sukkah has to be 10 tefachim, and the other, that mechitzin in general, and the other man that we learned it from psukim. So we see, you can have machlokas about halacha l'mosh mesinai as long as it's just a halacha in the parameters of the din, not a halacha of whether it exists at all. So how does this help Simchas? Because the Gemara in Yud Tes, which we'll see this Gemara again later, asks the question, does Simchas hold of koach kocho? We know that he holds kocho, which is tsurus, he holds kocho is still nezik shalim. What about koach kocho? Would he agree that it's chati nezik over there? And the Gemara says teku. So maybe if Simchas holds that koach kocho is chati nezek, he doesn't deny the halacha l'mosh mesinai of tsuro is chati nezek completely. He just applies it in another instance of koach kocho. So that's answer number one for Simchas. And answer number two would be that that this din of chati nezek tsuro is, when we say hilchos gemiri la, that doesn't mean halacha l'mosh mesinai. That just means one of the other categories, midos she'atonim nireshes behen. Why? Why could we say that? Where's the evidence for this? So the Rambam has a list of all halachos l'mosh mesinai, and he doesn't put this on his list. And further, the Netziv in Kidmat HaEmek, which is his introduction to Hemek She'ela, says that this example of Chatzi Nezek Tsuros is an example where the Gemara says Hilchosa, but it doesn't mean halachos l'mosh mesinai. It means Midos Shatron Reshepen, it just didn't give us the source for it. It was already Nimnu V'Gamru earlier in back in the Masorah, the Gemara either didn't know the source for it or didn't tell us the source, but it's Midos She'atonim Nireshes Behen, and therefore it is subject to a machlokas, and Simchas is going to be fine. So that's part one of the sugya. We had Simchas seemingly denies the Halacha l'mosh mesinai of Tsuros. Answer number one, he doesn't deny it, he just applies it in another context. Answer number two, it's not a Halacha l'mosh mesinai, it's a Midos She'atonim Nireshes Behen. Part number two is, how do we know that Tsuros, Chati Nezek, is Mamon? How do you know it's Mamona and not Knasa? So Rashi says, part of the Hilchasa Gemiri L'Betsuros, part of the Halacha L'mosh Mesinai, is that it's Mamon. So Rashi says, we learn from the Halacha L'mosh Mesinai. The Shita Mikubetzes says, it's a Machlokes. Why? Because we have another case of Chati Nezek. We go back to that pivotal Gemara on Tes Vav Min Aleph about Paganizka. Machlokes said it's Mamona or Knasa. So if we have a precedent of Paganitska being Mamona, then we don't need the Halacha l'mosh mesinai. But if the only other case of Paganitska is a Knas, then we would need a Halacha l'mosh mesinai to say that this Paganitska, this Chatzi Nezek, is Mamon. Let me repeat that. The Shita Mikubetzes wants to know, how do we know that this Chatzi Nezek Tsuros is a din of Mamon and not Knas? Rashi had said, according to everyone, it's Halacha l'mosh mesinai. Shita Mikubetzes says, it depends. If on Tetzav HaMaralev you hold that Pagan is Kamamona, so here too the Chatzi Nezek is Mamon. So you just know it's Mamon based on the other Chatzi Nezek case. But if you hold on Tetzav HaMaralev that Chatzi Nezek is Knas, then here, in the case of Tsuros, you need the Halacha l'mosh mesinai to say that it's Mamon. And we suggested a third opinion, which is the other end of the spectrum. Rashi said, according to everyone, Halacha l'mosh mesinai, Shita Mikubetzes says, some people, Halacha l'mosh mesinai, some people just know it on their own. We said, maybe everyone knows it from their own. No one needs it from a special Halacha l'mosh mesinai. Why? Because the din of Paganitska that we discussed on Tezvav is Karen. Karen, we know, is Meshuna. And we know it's a big Chiddush, and it's abnormal to happen. But here, in the case of Chatzi Nezek, we would say it's Mamona even without Halacha l'mosh mesinai because it's Orche and it's much more common. Okay, so that was part two of the sugya. How do we know Chatzi Nezek is Mamun and not Knas. Rashi, Halacha Moshe Mishinai, Shizvik Vetzes, Machlokes. According to Paga Nizk Mamona, on Pezlev and Aleph, so here is also Mamon, we don't need a separate limud. But according to Paganis Kaknasa, we need a separate limud that here is Mamona. And our third suggestion is that according to everyone, we just know that it's Mamona, based on the Paganis on Pezlev and Aleph, that case is a Chiddush, and here, we just say it's Mamon because it's more common. Part 3 of the Sugya. Which way do you go for Halacha Moshe Mishinai? So, it starts off the Gemara Yud Zayin Beis. We'll see. Okay, good question. Would you go to Chumra or Lekula? Yeah. I think we just quoted it in Shir. I guess it was Rebbe's suggestion. The Olam HaYeshiva, Hagaon, Hatzadik, Tzvi Sabalovsky, Sholito. Okay. So Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Rava has a big Shaila. Rava says, I don't get this din of Chatzi Nezek. I don't get this din of Kocho. If Kocho is Kegufo, then you should pay Nezek Shalim. Regular Nezek Shalim, Gufo, your animal damages, you pay Nezek Shalim. And if Kocho is Lav Kegufo, you shouldn't pay anything at all. Why are we paying? What's this halfway business? You don't go halfway. There's only one time in Psak where you have a Psak that's halfway. No one? This Machlokas with the Mezuzah is supposed to be vertical or horizontal. And we put it on an angle to compromise for both shitas. But normally in Judaism we don't give compromises. What's this? I don't know whether it's Nezek Shalim or Patris, I'll just say Chatzi Nezek. Okay. So Rava says, he says, really it's Chayv Kocho is Kegufo, it's Chayv Nezek Shalim, and the Halach Moshe Mishinai tells us that you're Chayv Chatzi Nezek. So Rush says, whoa, whoa, whoa. How do you know to go that way? How do you know to say that it really it's Chayiv Nezek Shalim, and Halacha Moshe Mishinai tells us that it's Chatzi Nezek? Maybe really it's Chayiv nothing. Really it's totally Pater, and Halacha Moshe Mishinai tells us Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. How do you know which way to go? So the Rush answers, Halacha Moshe Mishinai always go Lakula. How do we know that? We know that from Sukkah. How many walls do you need in your Sukkah? So the Shitas Rabbanan, at least, where we paskin, 2 walls and a Tefach. How do we know that? Because we basukos, there are 3 instances of the word sukos, and one of them is, okay, there are a lot of different ways how to learn it, but we're left at 3 walls, and Halacha Moshe Mishinai tells us that the third wall needs to only be a tefach, so we see that Halacha Moshe Mishinai needs to go lakula. That is the rush, and we question this rush on a couple accounts, on 3 accounts. We had 2 questions, and then we said that Tosfos argues. What are the 2 questions? Question number 1. One of the ways the Gemara in Sukkah presents that machlokas of there's a machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon whether you need 2 in a tefach or 3 in a tefach. The Gemara goes through like 3 or 4 explanations of what's the sort of machlokas. So one of the ways was everyone agrees that at one point you have 3 walls, and now we have to deal with the Halacha Moshe Mishinai. So the Rabbanan say that Halacha Moshe Mishinai tells us that we go lekula, and the third wall needs to only be a tefach. And Rabbi Shimon holds that the Halacha Moshe Mishinai tells us that we need an additional wall, 3 walls plus another tefach. So we see, according to Shita Rabbi Shimon, we're violating the Rush's rule. That's question number 1. That the Rush held that Halacha Moshe Mishinai always go lekula, but according to one of the ways of explanation in the Gemara on Sukkah, Daf Vav, Rabbi Shimon holds that you need 3 walls, and Halacha Moshe Mishinai tells us that you need an additional tefach. So you see, that's the Chumrah. That's question number 1 that we have in the Rush. Question number 2 on the Rush is a couple points. He's equating this Aradin of Chatzi Nezek Tzuros of the Halach Moshe Mishinai of Tzuros to the Halach Moshe Mishinai of Sukkah. So we have 2 questions. Number 1, we just got through the first part of the Sugya. Who says that the din of Tzuros is a real Halach Moshe Mishinai? And this whole comparison is based on the fact that they're the same. They're going to have the same din because they're both the same category of Halach Moshe Mishinai. We just presented this whole Shtickle Torah and the Rambam and the Netziv, how Tzuros might not even be Halach Moshe Mishinai at all. And if Tzuros isn't Halach Moshe Mishinai, then the whole comparison breaks down. Furthermore, who says the Gemara on Vavam Beis when it says Hilchsa? Who says that's Halach Moshe Mishinai? Because the Gemara over there lists all the Halacha Moshe Mishinai of Mechitzin, Gorasik, and Lavud, and what's conspicuously absent is Din of Shlish Tzafilu Tefach. And don't tell me that it's only talking about things that are that are applicable to all cases of mechitzin, and it's not going to include things that are specific to sukkah, because it lists dofen akuma. Dofen akuma is specific to sukkah, so it should list all the halachah l'moshe b'sinai of sukkah, so it should also list this din of shlishus afilu tefach. And from the fact that it's not on that list, we see that it's not halachah l'moshe b'sinai. So, if number one, tzoros might not be halachah l'moshe b'sinai, number two, the shlishus afilu tefach might not be halachah l'moshe b'sinai, so this comparison of the rush would break down. So those are the two questions on the rush. And we said that Tosfos argues on the rush. Why? We saw a Tosfos earlier where we had the question of why does Rava only hold of a Torah Bishus HaRabim, of that aspect, similar to Regel, sort of similar to Regel, but he doesn't hold of the payment from the Aliyah. And we answered that Tzoros has a specific halacha Moshe Mishina, Chatzin Nezek tells us that we're Mekil, and therefore we go Lekula, and the Torah Bishus HaRabim is Lekula, but the Aliyah is a Chumrah. We saw that Tosfos earlier. So, according to this Rush, there's no specific din of Tzoros which makes it any more Mekil than any other din of halacha Moshe Mishina. Every halacha Moshe Mishina has to be Lekula by definition. So why is Tosfos coming along and telling us that we see Tzroros is inherently Mekel because there's a special halacha l'moshe b'sinai for it? Every halacha l'moshe b'sinai is Mekel. There's nothing unique about Tzroros. And therefore, Tosfos shouldn't have to have its chilek of we only have Mekel dinim. Rava only holds a Mekel dinim of Regel, but doesn't hold the Machner dinim, because why is Tzroros any more Mekel than any other halacha l'moshe b'sinai? So those were our three ha'aras on the rush. One, that Rabbi Shimon seems to violate his rule and seems to use halacha l'moshe b'sinai to add a fourth wall of a tefach. Number two, who says our halacha l'moshe b'sinai is real halacha l'moshe b'sinai? Who says the Gemara in Sukkah is real halacha l'moshe b'sinai? Number three, Tosfos seem to disagree. Now the last part of the sugya is part about koach kocho. We saw the Gemara earlier. Does Simchas hold of koach kocho? Does he hold of the din of chatzin nezek for koach kocho? Or he doesn't hold of it at all, and the Gemara said, Teku. So the Rif leaves this out. It's Shita Simchas, it's a Teku, why would he put it in? It's understandable that the Rif will leave it out. But the Rush wants to explain that the Rif should have left it in. And the Rush goes through a whole calculation, which is a couple steps, you're going to have to halt up a little bit. But here's why the Rush says that the Rif should have kept it in. The Rush says, I just got through saying, well, first of all, he says, we don't need pasuk like Simchas, but we could learn something from this question of Simchas about Shitas Rabbanim. What could we learn about Shitas Rabbanim? So I just got through telling you how there's a special rule of halacha l'moshe b'sinai means lekula. Therefore, what's the suffix in the Gemara according to Simchas? The suffix is, either we apply the halacha l'moshe b'sinai, and I just said halacha l'moshe b'sinai has to be a kula. So we apply the halacha l'moshe b'sinai to tell us that koach kocho gets chatzin nezek, or we don't apply the halacha l'moshe b'sinai, and therefore, what would be the din of koach kocho? It's just like kocho. So either koach kocho is like kocho, chayv nezek shalem, or as a special din of halacha l'moshe b'sinai, which makes it chayv chatzin nezek. That has to be the way that the suffix is interpreted according to Simchas, because the halacha l'moshe b'sinai part has to be on the kula side. And halacha l'moshe b'sinai tells us there's a kula of chatzin nezek, of koach kocho, and on the machmir side would be koach kocho is like kocho, which is nezek shalim. So that's the subject according to Simchas. Koach kocho, sever halacha l'moshe b'sinai, or koach kocho like kocho. So if we apply that same suffix to the Rabbanan, but we don't use the dinim of chatzin nezek and nezek shalim, because the Rabbanan and Simchas have different dinim, we just use the constructs, the ideas, the halacha that koach kocho, separate halacha l'moshe b'sinai, or like kocho. So for Simchas, that meant either chayv chatzin nezek, or chayv nezek shalim. So let's plug that into the Rabbanim. You have this idea of koach kocho. Either you could have a separate halacha l'moshe b'sinai, or you could have that it's like kocho. Now, what separate halacha l'moshe b'sinai do you have? When we were talking about Shita Simchas, Simchas had never seen the halacha l'moshe b'sinai of chatzin nezek tzoros, never used it for anything. So that was his separate halacha l'moshe b'sinai applying chatzin nezek to the case of koach kocho. The Rabbanan already used the halacha l'moshe b'sinai of tzoros. They already used chatzin nezek tzoros in the regular case. So we have our case of koach kocho. Either it was a special halacha l'moshe b'sinai or like kocho. There's no special halacha l'moshe b'sinai to use. That side is totally out of the picture. So according to Chachamim, you have to say koach kocho is like kocho. And therefore, koach kocho is chayev chatzi nezek according to the Rabbanan, and you're not going to say it's patur lagamri. So again, there was a question according to Simchus whether koach chocho is chayev nezek shalim or chayev chatzi nezek, and there was a teku. So seemingly you could have the same question according to Rabbanan, is koach chocho chatzi nezek or patur, and you could have the same thing, maybe it's teku. But the Rush says no. We could answer it based on how the sefik lines up according to Simchus, because according to Simchus the two sides are separate lachomosh misinai or like kocho, and so when you line that up according to Rabbanan, they can't say that there's a separate lachomosh misinai for koach kocho because they already use the lachomosh misinai for the regular case of throws. So they must say koach kocho is like kocho and chayev chatzi nezek. Okay, I hope that was clear. It's a little bit fine. He has a question on this?
Yeah, why
not the Rush quote the Gemara? What's the answer? Maybe he didn't hold the Rush's own calculations. Oh. Anything the Rush said. I don't hold that Halachah Mishmishin as a Kula. I don't hold the applications correct. Yeah?
Oh, he holds that short time. I don't know about time. I know you're misremembering that you don't pay a quarter. So we already know. Like, what
No, you'd be Patur Lagamri, not pay a quarter. Maybe it's Koch Koko is so far removed.
We have no clue that Rabbanan would say about Koch Koko?
Seemingly not.
Without the Rush quoting,
I don't know.
Without
reporting
the suffix of
something,
we don't know
what
they're about at all.
Actually, maybe there are other Gemaras. Okay. Let's get on to the last. We don't have a minute here, so I want to end before 2:30. Okay, so the last sugya is sugya number 15. Ever vi'ama shehizeko. Yeah, this is it.
It's a whopper.
It's a whopper. Okay. So. We're doing it tomorrow. Shimon's going to do 14 and 16. Because. Yeah. Everything's off the pechina. It's okay.
Everything's in the real
pechina. Yeah. Come
with the biyadam. Why?
Okay. We good? Any more commentary from the peanut gallery? Okay. So this sugya has strong roots in the Gemara. The Gemara says that eved va'ama shehezeko is pater because of shema yakni tena rabba. What does that mean? If someone has a slave and the slave damages something, you're not going to be chai for that, because then the slave could just start damaging. Let's say the slave is upset at his master, he could just make him pay whatever he wants. So we're going to say he's patur. What's the implication here? The Granat picks up on this Gemara and says the implication is, without this gzera, without this din of shema yakni tena rabo, you would really be chayiv for your slave doing damage. Eved shehezeko. Why? Why is that true? So his initial suggestion is mamon shemazik. Just like I'm chayev for my ox damaging something, just like I'm chayev for my fire damaging something, just like anything that damages, I am chayev for my slave damaging something. It's okay, we don't want to look at people as property, but okay, we'll leave that there. So the Granat asks three questions, and then brings a new mahalach, and then we have the Rav Chaim who argues on this mahalach. So question number one. The question number one that the Granat asks is, we know there's a din, ish bor velo shor bor. I'm only chayev for my pit, meaning I'm chayev if I do one of the avos nezikin, but I'm not chayev for my animal doing one of the avos nezikin. What's the case? The Gemara in Chaf Bezim and Aleph quotes the case of the dog that takes a cookie. It eats the cookie and burns a whole bunch of stuff. It's chayev for nezik shalim, for shame, for eating the cookie, and it's chayev chatzi nezek for burning, because of tzuros. So the Gemara asks, Bishlama, according to Shita Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is the Shita of Isha Mishem Chitzav, that I'm chayev, Isha Mishem Chitzav, the fire is like my arrow, so I'm chayev tzuros, I'm chayev for chitzav of my animal. But according to Reish Lakish, who holds Isha Mishem Mamono, it's not your fire, it's the dog's fire. So why should he be chayev? So Rashi interprets the question as, what does it mean it's not your fire? It means, according to Mandamar, Ishu Mishu Mamono, you have to own the fire. And we saw this Machlokas Rashi Tosfos earlier, and Tosfos says, no, it doesn't mean you need to own the fire. Rather, you should be pater because of this din of Ish Bor Velo Shor Bor. Right? You're only chayev for doing Avos Nezikin, you're only chayev for sending fires, but your animal is not chayev for sending fires. So, here too, this drasha of ish bor v'lo shor bor, you should say ish bor v'lo eved bor, right? If I'm chayev for, let's say, burning a fire, why should my eved be chayev? Why should I be chayev for my eved burning a fire? If I'm chayev for, you know, my animal doing something, what? If I'm chai for making a boar, I'm not chai for my animal making a boar. So the Granat says, question number one, why would we say, if not for Shemekin Tana Rabo, why would we say that Eved, why would we say that the master is chai for his Eved stuff, if we know that ish boar v'lo shor boar, that you're not chai for your dog, let's say, starting a fire, so you shouldn't be chai for your Eved starting a fire. So we answer, he gets out of this question, by saying that the Eved, when he's lighting something, if he lit a fire, then the fire went far away, and Echinami, you're right, you wouldn't be chayiv. But if the Eved goes up and lights the fire directly, that's called Adam HaMazik, that's called Mazik Biyadayim. So I'd be chayiv for my animal being Mazik Biyadayim. The only time we say I'm not chayiv for my animal, Ish Bor V'lo Shor Bor, is when my animal starts a fire that goes and damages something. My animal digs a pit and someone falls into it. If my animal just steps on someone's stuff, you're going to be chayiv. So too for the Eved. If my Eved started a fire here and it goes, you know, a block down the street, then yeah, I'd be patur. But my Eved is lighting directly, so that's going to be chayiv because of Mamono Shehizik. So we're still safe with Mamono Shehizik. Question number one, Ishpov Loshorbor. Answer, it was just Mazik Biyadayim. Question number two. Why is the Adon chayiv? The Eved should be chayiv. Why? We know that there's an idea of Bailim that gave it to, let's say the owners give an ox to a shomer, someone to watch. And the shomer has a certain level of responsibility on this ox, and he neglects this responsibility, and the ox damages someone. So who does the nizik collect money from? So the Gemara says, on them dalam and bees, shomer nichnesa tachas bailim. The watcher is instead of the owners. The watcher is instead of the owners. What does that have to do with our case of Eved? The Eved could watch himself. He's like a shomer. So the shomer, he goes and damages something. Why should the Bailim have to pay? We just said there's a rule of shomer nichnesa tachas Bailim. The Eved should have to pay. The Eved damages something, he's able to watch himself, he should have to pay for what he damages. Why does it go onto the master to pay? What's this assuming? This assumes that the idea of shomer nechnesa tachas bailim means the bailim are out of the picture. The owner is gone. The shomer had to watch it, and the animal damaged it anyway. So the nizak takes it up with the shomer. The bailim is out of the picture, so here too the adun should be out of the picture. But that might not be the only way to explain the sugya. Rashi explains, what does it mean nechnesa shomer tachas bailim? That the shomer is going to be chayv to pay. Doesn't mean the bailim is out of the picture. The nizak still collects from the original owners. The nizak collects from the owner, and then the owner collects from the shomer. That's how the payment works. When we say shomer nechnesa tachas bailim, it means that the shomer is chayiv. It means that he has to pay at the end of the day. But it doesn't mean the owners are out of the picture. That means the nizak goes to the owner, and the owner collects from the shomer. So here too, in our case, the nizak would collect from the adon, and the adon goes and collects from the slave. So when we say that the adon is chayiv. So, what about the Eved? He's a Shomer. Okay, but we explain like Shitas Rashi, that and even when the other is a Shomer, Shomer Nechnas Tachas Bailim, you could still collect from the owner, and then the owner has to go take it up with the Eved. So in our case, when the Eved is Shomer on himself, he destroys something, so the Nizak is still going to collect from the Bailim, and that's why the other is going to be Chayev. Is there anyone who argues with this? So two people who argue. Number one, the Torah. The Torah says straight up, that's not how you understand the Sugya. The Bailim are completely removed from the picture. The Nizak would go directly to the Shomer in the case of, you know, the actual Shomer, and by extension, the case of our Eved. And Tosfos also argues. Why? Because Tosfos develops an idea. Tosfos on the development of Bays explains the Mishnah, which says that Listim Mizuyin took something, you're going to be, the Listim are Chayev when it damages it. And the Bailim are going to be Pater. Listim Chayevin. Hotsiu Listim Chayevin. Why? Why are they Chayev? So Tosfos says, there's the Yisod. If the owners can't watch something, someone has to be watching the item. So when the Goslin takes it, the Bailim can't watch it. Who's the Shmira on? The Shmira is on the Goslin. The Shmira is totally on the Goslin. That's why the Goslin's Chayev. He doesn't own it, but he's responsible to watch it. So similarly, in a case where you give it to a Shomer, the Bailim are not responsible for the Shmira. So just like the Goslin, when he took it, is going to be responsible to pay for damages, so too the Shomer is responsible. And the Bailim are completely out of the picture, according to Tosfos. Just like they're out of the picture in the case of the Goslin, they're completely out of the picture in the case of the Shomer. So Rashi says his fancy pshat of, in a case of Shomer, when the Shomer is watching it and the animal damages, the Nizak is going to go to the Bailim, and the Bailim question the Shomer, so the Torah disagrees and Tosfos disagrees. Adkan, question number two. Question number three of the Granat requires a little bit of background. And the general question is, this idea of Mamon Shehizik shouldn't apply to a person. Why? The Gemara in Yizayim and Abayis quotes a Mishnah of Shein, and if the Mishnah says two cases, Shein and Behema. The Gemara says, what's the difference between Shein and Behema? So Behema is Mechayev Behema, and Shein is Mechayev Chaya. Okay, what does it mean? Why is Chaya? One might think that Chaya is not included. Kamashama, that's included in Behema. So how is Chaya, a wild animal, included in Behema, a domesticated animal? Machlokis Rashi Tosfos. Rashi says it's Xerus Akasif. The Pasuk, when talking about Kashrus, says Behema, says these are the Behemas, and then goes on to list different Chayas. So we see Chaya is included in Behema. Tosfos says that Xerus Akasif doesn't work, because that Xerus Akasif doesn't include Ophos. That only talks about Chaya being included in Behema. What about a chicken? We know chickens, Chayav and Nezikin, but according to Xerus Akasif, there are no chickens. So we must say a different Xerus Akasif. What's the different Xerus Akasif? The word behemtecha for Shabbos means all animals have to rest. Similarly, the word behemtecha for kilayim means that all animals are subject to kilayim. So too, that din of behemtecha of all animals is going to apply to Nezikin. Aye, where's the word behemtecha in Nezikin? Bi'iro. Bi'iro is the Aramaic translation of behemtecha. So Bi'iro teaches that all animals are included. So machlokas Rashi Tosfos, how you know chayrus are included? Rashi, gzeiros akasiv, from Kashrus, which just includes Chayas. Tosfos, the idea of Behemtecha, which includes everything. So the Shittin Gubetzes wants to defend Rashi. How does Rashi answer Tosfos' question? Rashi doesn't include Ophos. So the Shittin Gubetzes says, according to Rashi, you have to say Ophos is not written explicitly. It's not an Av, it's a Tolda. But according to Tosfos, there's no idea of Avos and Toldos for these different animals. Everything is written explicitly. Everything is behemtecha. So according to Tosfos, behemtecha includes everything. There's only one level of avos, of all animals, chayas, behemos, and ophos. According to Rashi, there are different levels. Chay and behema are avos, they're included in the pasuk specifically, but ophos are just toldos. What does any of this have to do with anything? It seems very abstract, very unrelated. So the Gemara in Nindalim and Abayis asks, is a shor and an adam, is that a violation of kilayim? The Gemara says no. Why not? Because people and animals only have the same dinim for Laman Yanuach of Shabbos, but for nothing else. For nothing else they have the same dinim of Behemtecha. So according to Tosfos says, let's start with Rashi. According to Rashi, who's included in the Pasuk of Xeris HaKasuv? Behemoth and Chayos. And what else do we have? We have Toldos. Toldos are including an Ophos. Now, the Gemara in Nindalim and Abayis just told us that an Adam is not included in Behemtecha. So according to Rashi, how is an Adam Chayev? A Tolda. Just like Oph is Chayev from a Tolda, even though it's not included in the Pasuk, so too Adam. Right, if my bird damages someone, I'm Chayev. So too my Adam who damages someone, an Eved, I'm going to be Chayev. Not from the Pasuk, but from a Tolda, just like Oph was from a Tolda. But according to Tosfos, everything was learned from Behemtecha. The only animals that are going to be chayiv are the ones in Behemtecha. Behema chayiv of. But now that the Gemara tells us that Adam is not included in Behemtecha, so Adam shouldn't be included in this Nezikin. Adam, if my person damages something, again, just a brief clarification, we're not talking about Adam HaMazik here, where I'm damaging something, that everyone agrees is chayiv. We're talking about if I own a person who damages something, just to get that on the record, because a lot of times it gets confusing. So, if according to Tosfos, if I own a behema, a chaya, an oaf, I'm going to be chayev. But my person that I own, my ebed that I own, I'm not going to be chayev for. So this is the last question that the Granat asks on his pshat. We said, the Gemara tells us, Shema Yakni Tana Rabba is pater, makes ebed v'amma sheizeka pater. Ebed sheizeka is going to be pater because of Shema Yakni Tana Rabba. But if not for that special gezeira, it would be chayev. Now he asks, why would it be chayev? Ma'moncha shehizik. And just like my ox, so too my Evan. And we asked a whole bunch of questions. We said, number one, what about Ishbor v'lor Shorbor? And we answered that it's talking about a case of Matz B'Yadayim. Number two, we said, what about a case of Shomer? The Evan should be like a Shomer. And we have to use Rashi's fancy shot in Shmira, you're right, he is a Shomer, but the Nizah goes to the Adon, who then can collect from the Evan. And the question number three which is about the din of Tosfos and which animals are included, that according to Tosfos, Adam is not included. And yeah, we could get out of all the kashas. We had our Adam Amazik, we had our Shitas Rashi, we have our Shitas Rashi here as well. But the Granat says, we see from all these kashas, it must be there's another Mahamach. It says, what's the Mahamach? Why would an Adam be chayav for his master, for his Eved, damaging stuff? So he says, really, it's not the Adam is chayav, it's the Eved is chayav. The Eved damaged, the Eved is chayav for Adam Amazik. So where does the Adam come in? The Adam is the financial responsibility, has a monetary obligation to pay for everything that the Eved has to pay for. So the Eved is chayav, and then that chiyav reverberates to the Adam, and the Adam has to pay for it. And this gets out of, certainly the last question of, what do you mean, Mamoncha Shehizik, an Adam according to Tosfos is not included in Mamoncha? We're not talking about Mamoncha Shehizik. And we're not talking about Shmir either. And we're not talking about Ishbor Boshur. It gets out of all the questions. Because all these questions were assuming that the Eved was some external din. It was just like it was my animal, so too it's my Eved. But now we're saying the Eved is chayav because of Adam Amazik, and that monetary chiyav gets placed onto the Adam. That's what the Granat says. The Granat says, I have a raya. Because the Rambam says that if not for Shema Yachni Tena Rabo, an Adam would have to pay for Kefel. He'd have to pay the double amount that the Eved stole. Now, if Eved was chayev for Mamon Shehizeko, like we said originally, why in the world would a Chiyav Kefel be applicable? Chiyav Kefel has nothing to do with Nezikin. So if Chiyav Kefel has nothing to do with Nezikin, and the only reason you're chayev for your Eved is Mamon Shehizek, then you shouldn't have to pay the Kefel. Rather, we see from here, since the Rambam says you would be chayev the kefel, it means that the Eved is chayev, the Eved did it himself, so he's chayev kefel, and that monetary chayev reverberates to the other.
Why does kefel have
nothing to do with nezikin? That's the chayim. Kefel does have to do with nezikin. But presumably, kefel is a knas of stealing something. What does it have to do with me damaging something? Why? The two parshas are totally different. Yeah. But yeah, Rambam says they are similar. So the Granat says, that's my raya. The Rambam says, you would have had to pay for the kefel, and the kefel has nothing to do with Nezikin, so it must be, you're not paying for Mamon Chosheh Hizik, the Eved has the chiyav of kefel, and that gets placed on the Adam. Rav Chaim says, no, really, you had it right. This is Mamon Chosheh Hizik. Why, according to the Rambam, would the other have to pay for the kefel? Why would we say that the master has to pay for this kefel? That the Adon did. If Kefel has nothing to do with Nezikin, so he gives the other answer. Not that it's not about Nezikin, but Kefel does have to do with Nezikin. Kefel is a subcategory of Nezikin, does have elements of Nezikin. Why? What's the Svara? So the Svara is that when I steal something, if nothing happens to it, I have to return the item back, as is. That's, I'm not going to use the term quid pro quo, but sounds like a Nezikin related din. I steal something, I have to give it back. That sounds like it's similar to Nezikin. Granted, if you do stuff to it, you have to pay kefil and you have to pay other things, but it has its roots in Nezikin. It has elements of Nezikin. And since it has elements of Nezikin, that kefil would transfer to be a chiyav of the Adon, even though the Adon is only chayev for his slave as Nezikin, the kefil would still be included in that. The kefil would still be included in Nezikin chiyav because kefil does have an element of Nezikin. And that's why the Rav Chaim says that really Eved Shehizeko is chayav because of Mamon Shehizek. Why should kefil apply if kefil is not Nezikin? Kefil is Nezikin. And one more point from Rav Chaim. We've been explaining this whole time that really you're chayav on a level of De'oraisa. There really is a chiyav of Eved Shehizeko. And there's just a gzeiro de'rabanan Shem Yaki Tene Rabo, which makes you pater. Rav Chaim explains, no. It's not a gzeira. It's not so external. It's not so superficial. The Rambam himself says, what's the reason why you're not chayav for Eved? He doesn't just say, Shem Yaki Tene Rabo. He says that the Eved's a bar da'as, so you can't guard him. And then later he says, Shem Yaki Tene Rabo. The real reason why you're not chayav for your Eved is he's a bar da'as. You can't guard him. If you can't guard him, you're not chayiv to watch him, even on the level of the Oraisa. I'm only chayiv for things which I have to guard, which I have the level of Shmira. If I don't have any level of Shmira on my Eved, because he could just do whatever he wants, so I'm not chayiv at all on a Oraisa. So what's Shemayak and Tenarabba doing? Why does Rambam say Shemayak and Tenarabba? That sounds like Gzeira. That sounds like Derabanan. That doesn't sound like something inherent that I'm not chayiv because he's a Bardas. And Rav Chaim explains, it is. That's exactly what the Rambam is saying. Shemayak and Tenarabba is a reflection that you have no control over him. The reason why you're chayiv is that not some external concern that he might go and when you're, he's upset at you, go and light someone else's field. It's not some concern. It's that you. It's an overall theme that you don't have any control over him. He's a bar das. You don't have the control over him. He can do what he wants. And since he's a bar das, you have a level of shmira on him. And Shemek Tener Rabba reflects this idea of an eved inherently not being able to be guarded, and that's why you're going to be chayev for. That's why you're pater for this case. So that concludes figure number 15. We have to go out with his three questions and his answer. That's not one chosha hizik. Really, it's a case of the eved is chayev, and then that chayev, that monetary chayev, goes to the adon. And the Rav Chaim explained differently that really it is mamon shehizik, and explained why kefil is nezikin, and tell us this new din about shemiyak tana rabba. Okay, I hope.
Why?